The wealthy man says, "You should lay flat the fringe and the border. You should soak the thin part in a brew. You should strain that with a strainer. You should split the seam and cool it. You should dry it in the cool of the evening, lest the weaving get too stiffened by the sun." So he's clearly going beyond the usual light or heavy starch that is questioned that we might engage in our cleaners with. The wealthy man's instructions are so explicit and lengthy that the cleaner is offended and suggests that the man do the cleaning himself. "What you ordered me to do, I could not narrate, declaim, speak, or repeat. Come now, let me show you a place where the big job you have on your hands you can set to yourself." So these interactions between wealthy and poor men usually result in the embarrassment of the wealthy man at the hands of the poor man. Another type of literature is, for which we have a few examples, are drinking songs. And we've discussed how important beer was in Mesopotamian culture. One drinking song waxes enthusiastic about the effects and the joy of drinking beer. "We will have the cupbearers, the boys and the brewers stand by. As I spin around the lake of beer while feeling wonderful while drinking beer, in a blissful mood while drinking alcohol and feeling exhilarated, with joy in the heart and a contented liver, my heart is a heart filled with joy. I clothe my contented liver in a garment fit for a queen." It's hard to top that as a drinking song that explains the feeling of the effects of beer. Other types of literature can be either humorous or try to dispense advice. And many proverbs are preserved from Mesopotamia. One proverb begins, "Whatever the man in authority said, it was not pleasant." And so here we get a contrast to all of those laws that are set out by kings, establishing order. But clearly, common wisdom was that whoever was in authority was going to say something that wasn't to your benefit. On changes in professions, a proverb indicates, "A disgraced scribe becomes an incantation priest. A disgraced singer becomes a flute player. A disgraced merchant becomes a con man." So all of the accounting and interactions that we've seen with merchants can result in deception. Some proverbs are focused on health. "To be sick is all right. To be pregnant is painful. To be pregnant and sick is just too much." So clearly, morning sickness was an issue that was seen to be something that was too hard to endure. "Love poetry can be set in a beautiful garden beneath cedar trees, and anything that creates a romantic mood for the man and woman involved. A wedding between Nabu, the son of Marduk, and the patron deity of scribes, and his wife Tashmetu, describes a garden that contained the shade of cedar and cypress and juniper trees. Tashmetu wears gold earrings and bracelets of carnelian, and Nabu asks, 'Why are you so adorned, my Tashmetu?' 'So I can go to the garden with you, my Nabu, and there bind fast. Hitch up, bind your days to the garden, bind your nights to the exquisite garden.'" And this sense of nature pervades love poetry, and also some of the other stories that we have seen already. So it creates a much more vivid sense of the environment that the Mesopotamians enjoyed. Finally, magic spells were used to help ease the annoyances of life. Spells to cure a headache, fever, or other illnesses are frequent, and they tell us about some of the maladies that were most common. For all you allergy sufferers out there, "Cloudy eyes, blurred eyes, bloodshot eyes. Why do you cloud over? Why do you blur? Why do sand of river, pollen of date palm, pollen of fig tree, straw of winnower sting you?" There's a lot of discussion about eye problems.